1 Samuel chapter number 30, starting at verse number 1. A text that I felt the Lord lay on my heart a few weeks ago about starting the new year with here this morning. But over the last few weeks, the backdrop to this story has kind of captivated my attention as well. So it won't just be the 30th chapter, but kind of some events that led up to this event. But starting in verse number 1 of 1 Samuel 30, "And it came to pass when David and his men were come to Ziklag on the third day, that the Amalekites had invaded the south and Ziklag, and smitten Ziklag, and burned it with." That's not the first time that you've heard that text, if you've been in church very long at all. We've heard many stories about Ziklag, and the next part that we hear is in verse number 18. You can skip down to there, and the Lord willing, I want to talk about both of these verses. But notice verse number 18, "David recovered all." Somebody say all. Amen. I'm glad that we can have steps to victory, aren't you?
Amen.
Amen. But the last few weeks, the events that got us to the 30th chapter have kind of dominated my mind. And so turn with me to the 27th chapter. And I want to start preaching here. And then I want to get to the 30th chapter. And then I'd like to see the Lord really help us in the altar service today. Chapter 27, verse number 1. "And David said in his heart, I shall now perish one day by the hand of Saul. There is nothing better for me than that I should speedily escape into the land of the Philistines. And Saul shall despair of me to seek me any more in any coast of Israel. So shall I escape out of his hand." Verse 27 again. "And David said in his heart, I shall now perish one day by the hand of Saul. There is nothing better for me than that I should speedily escape into the land of the Philistines." You hear the desperation in David's voice. There is nothing better. There is nothing better. This is as good as it gets. There is nothing better. With the help of the Lord, I want to preach to you on God has something better than this. God has something better than this. How many believe God has good things for us? Amen. How many believe God wants you to walk in victory? Amen. Sometimes people come and say, well, is the will of the Lord to do this or that? And sometimes I really don't know the specifics concerning your life. But I do know this, that it's always God's will for us to walk in victory. Amen. You want to walk in victory today? Lift your hands toward the Lord and ask Him to help us today. Father, we do celebrate your presence. We thank you, Lord, for the ability to be here today. God, we just ask you, Lord, to bless your people. We ask you, Lord, to meet us here in this altar today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. May the Lord bless you as you're seated today in the house of the Lord. The 30th chapter is one that we are so familiar with. Matter of fact, we're familiar with not only that chapter, but really the biography of King David. More written concerning David than any other character in all of God's Word. So you and I are well acquainted with the life of David, both the ups and the downs. Both the victories and the defeats are found in the Scripture. And I'm glad for that God's Word is not always a perfect museum, that it's not a museum that everything is always perfect for the people of God. But yet God's Word allows us to see the struggles. God's Word allows us to see the defeats, the shortcomings, the things that go wrong in people's lives. because I believe it helps us to identify that when we make mistakes, not that we want to, but if we do, and in a long life way, we have made mistakes. Anybody made more than you want to admit? We've all made mistakes, but it shows us that we do not have to stay there, but rather we can recover, do better, and walk again in the life of victory. And such is our text in the story of David today. The 27th chapter is found, and David is walking in victory at the beginning of the chapter. God has enabled him, and God has blessed him, and David's been walking in victory for a lengthy period of time. But things began to change, and the Bible says the very first phrase that David said in his heart. In just a little while, I want to get to Ziklag. I want to get to recovering all that we have lost. I'd like for the Lord to meet us at this altar today, because maybe there's something you feel that you've lost that you need to get back, and that's why we are in the house of the Lord today. But the first thing I want you to notice is this psalmist that has retreated, this psalmist that is getting ready to move down into an area that he should not be there. He spends 16 months. And for the next 16 months, David is not going to write any psalms. He is not going to write any songs. Matter of fact, we have no record of him even praying for the next 16 months in his life. It is going to be dark days. It is going to be terrible defeats. It is going to be a journey that takes David away from the presence of God, that there is no song in his heart, there is no joy in his pen, and the presence of God is not readily found in his life. You say, why would David do that? I don't know. But there's a lot of people that walk down that same journey. And so my point today is to let's see what David did, and then maybe we can avoid it by the help of the Lord. But the first thing that David does is he begins to retreat. He begins to say within his heart. He begins to talk to himself, or his humanism is paramount in his life. Notice he is not praying. Notice he is not reading God's word. He is simply talking to himself. He is simply talking himself into a fit of discouragement. He is talking himself right into a dark, dark valley. It's one thing for the roaring lion to come in seeking whom he may devour. It's another thing for the enemy to come in like a flood, and we've all been there. But it's another thing to talk yourself right into a dark, dark valley. And so David, his humanism will not allow him to sing. It will not allow him to pray. We don't see him reading scripture. It is dominated by fleshly thinking. He says within his heart. How many believe every one of us talk to ourselves on a daily, daily basis? The problem is some of you answer and carry on conversations. That's a message for another day. But the fact of the matter is we do talk to ourselves. Matter of fact, the Bible teaches us how to talk to ourselves. There are times that the Word of God said that I said within my heart, or I began to talk to myself. You can talk yourself into discouragement, or you can talk yourself into the joy and into the blessings of the Lord. David begins to talk himself into a fit of discouragement. As soon as he felt the darkness began to envelop his heart, he should have grabbed his heart. He should have bowed his knees in prayer. He should have found the scriptures. He should have found something to begin to give his heart and his mind something good to think about. There are some folks that humanistic thinking or philosophy dominates their mind, and all they begin to talk about is themselves, what's going on in their life, their feelings, their emotions, the circumstances that are all around them, and they say within their heart. But it does not stop there. It goes on, because humanism will lead to pessimism. Notice what David says. He says within his heart, I'm going to die. Now that's a very encouraging thought, is it not? David said, this is as encouraging as I can get. David says within his heart, I'm going to die. Well, there's probably not one of us in this building that does not realize that besides the coming of the Lord, we're all going to the grave. We are all going to die. We are flesh. We are mortal, and life is a few days. But that's a pretty morbid thought, is it not? I mean, that is for someone to sit around and think about death all the time. Now, I'm not talking about putting your plans in order and getting things worked out and being having foresight and things of that nature, but just to sit around and say, you know what? I'm going to die. I might as well sit here and die. Matter of fact, if we thought about it, you realize that it's dangerous to even sit in church. You realize hundreds of people died last year, even being in church, having heart attacks, dying right in the house of the Lord. If you'd have thought about that, you probably wouldn't have even came today. But the fact of the matter is, more people died at home than they did in church. So it's more dangerous to be at home than it is to be at church. Matter of fact, more people died in a car accident than so if we sit around and think all the time, you know what? We'll be a pretty discouraged, pessimistic individual or kind of thing, if you would. But can I remind David just about a few things right here? David says, my life is over. I'm going to die. But can I remind you, David? Can I insert a few things right here, David? You gotta change your thinking, David. Has it not been found many times in God's word? God said David was going to be king after Saul. That is found in God's word. As of yet, David is not king. So David, let me remind you, yes, you're going to die. And let me relieve all of you of that anxiety. We are all going to die. But thank God, most of us, it will not be today. Can you say, if you found anything to say amen about it, ought to be that right there. We all want to go to heaven. We just may not want to go today. Can I get another amen in the house of the Lord? But David said, I'm going to die. But David, not yet. Not yet. God said in his word, you're going to be king. And you're not king yet, so you're not going to die just yet. But he had let his mind and his heart go down this downward spiral of pessimism to where he just felt so pessimistic. He felt like dying. He just felt like quitting, like the sun was never going to rise the next day. But David, Abigail said that God had put you as rule over Israel. It hasn't happened yet, David. You're not going to die just yet. Do you remember, David, that Samuel anointed you with oil? You're still anointed to be king, David. Yeah, you're going to die, but it's just not going to be right now. Even Saul said that you're going to take his place. You're not done, David. You got to get up out of that negative thinking. God has something better than this. Can I preach to the people of God this morning and say that God has more than for me and you to sit in this downward spiral of pessimism that says it's dark, it's bad, and I'm going to die. Yeah, it's dark and it's bad, but can I preach somebody this morning, amen, that it's not going to happen right now? Can I preach this morning that we're saved by the blood of Jesus, that we're washed in the blood of the Son of God, and that Jesus Christ is coming again? And I'd like to have your attention this morning. I know there's a lot moving around, but help me this morning if you would. And we'll settle down and sell tickets tonight. Amen. But can I preach to you this morning that David, yeah, you're going to die, but it's not going to be right now. Amen. The anointing is on your head. You're going to be the next king. Even Jonathan said that he knew God was going to place you on the throne of Israel. And David, you got to get out of this thinking. But the problem is, David never did. David talked himself right into some dark days. David talked himself right into some bad decisions. And the whole reason we've got the 30th chapter is because we've got the 27th chapter. If David would have started doing some things differently right here, he never would have went to Ziklag. He never would have encountered that battle, and he never would have suffered that loss. If he'd have changed it right here, if he'd have got a hold of God, if he'd have started singing and shouting, if he'd have got on his knees before God and praying, I believe it would have been different. But David didn't do it. There's no
songs to sing. There are no psalms to write. There are no songs to pen. And David just walks himself down into a downward spiral of pessimism, of defeat, of displacement and disillusionment. And I'm saying, oh God, it does not have to be that way. Notice the rest of the 27th verse, or the first verse of the 27th chapter. David said, there is nothing better for me. It leads not only from pessimism, but it leads to rationalism. David said, there's nothing better. I'm going to escape into the land of the Philistines, and Saul will not bother me anymore. He begins to rationalize everything that he wants to do. The first time humanism fills our heart, and we begin to talk to ourselves without consulting the Word of God, without getting down in prayer, without going through the attitude of worship, we lead ourselves into pessimism. And if we stay there very long, the devil's got all kinds of territory. The devil's got all kinds of invitations. Yeah, come on. I can lead you over here. And it leads us into rationalism, where we feel like we're rationalized in everything we do. You can sit around and watch folks. They feel rationalized to sit there, not praise the Lord. They feel rationalized to miss church. They feel rationalized to give when they want to give. They feel rationalized to sing when they want, pout when they want. They feel rationalized to do anything that they want to do because they have justified themselves. But can I preach to you this morning? Amen. I never want to see chapter 30 again. I've seen enough zigzags. I've seen enough burnings. I've seen the devil come in too much. I've seen him take too much joy. I've seen him take too much peace. I've seen him take too many families. I'm trying to keep us out of the 30th chapter, and I'm telling you, it's right there. Amen. Every day for the rest of the year, you know what you ought to do? You ought to get up out of the bed, throw the curtains open, and say, this is the day that the Lord hath made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. The devil says, you're going to die. You're going to die. Yeah, I'm going to die. But before I die, I'm going to be the next king of Israel. Before I die, I'm going to write some more songs. Before I die, I'm going to pick up my harp. I'm going to make some music unto the Lord, because this is not the way that I'm going out. I'm not going out with my hands down. I'm not going out defeated. I'm not going out without joy. The devil may take me out, but I'm going to go tooth and toenail. I'm going to go worshiping. I'm going to go shouting. I'm going to go rejoicing. I'm going to go in the joy of the Lord. Now, there will be some of you that spend the entire year and disregard the last 5 minutes of what I've said. But I'm telling you, if you'll stop right there, if verse number one was the end, how would it have changed? David said in his heart, I shall not perish one day by the hand of Saul. There is nothing better for me than that I should speedily escape in the land of the Saul, in the land of the Philistines. But if the next half of the verse says, but David, encouraged himself in the Lord. Oh, I'm going to get the 30th chapter in just a little while. David finally encourages himself in the Lord. But what would have happened if he'd have done it in this verse? But David picked up his harp and began to make music to the Lord. But David began to write psalms to the Lord. Pick out Psalms 42. Pick out Psalms 48. Pick out Psalms 145 through 150. What if he'd have wrote a psalm like that? We never would have had to finish this story. We'd have never had to go down into Ziklag. We'd have never had to see that city burn with fire. We'd have never had to recover all, because we never would have lost it. I said, hear the premise this morning. Amen. Do you get tired to recover and all, then stop losing it. I said, oh yes, the only reason we had to recover it is because we lost it. But on this first morning, amen, how many going to take some inventory and say, I got some things of God, I've got some stuff, and I'm not going to lose it. I'm not going to lose my joy. I'm not going to lose my praise. I'm not going to lose my fire. I'm not going to lose my walk with God. Go down to the bookstore. Look at the books, the best-selling books. What are they? They're telling you how to get out of chapter 30. 12 steps. I'll tell you how to get out of chapter 30. Change chapter 27. Change chapter 27. Change it. The psalmist who retreated. So for 16 months, you think he's in the will of God those 16 months? No songs, no music. The sweet singer of Israel with no music. The sweet singer of Israel talking to himself. No music. No music. Just dark, dark days. You think that's the plan of God to walk around in the darkness? No music. No joy. No peace. No worship. Maybe the God you serve you think it is. But friend, Christ didn't die on the cross that we'd walk around without a song. Walk around without joy. Walk around without a dance. Walk around without my hands clapping and my feet stomping. I don't need Gold City to make me happy. I don't need Jason Crabb with the wild hairdo that make me want to do flip-flops in the house of God. I'll tell you what gets me excited. It's when I can come into his house and realize that I'm washed in the blood and saved and sanctified. And it makes me want to shout, makes me want to dance, makes me want to say hallelujah. Matter of fact, I'll go one step further. Makes me want to say Hosanna, Hosanna. Hosanna, 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 Hosanna to the King of Kings. But you're determined. We're going to go to chapter 30. We never have to go. Man, I don't even want to go to chapter 30. I don't even want to get there. The psalmist had retreated. I don't even want to get to the city that is ravished. I don't even want to get there. I don't want to go. I don't want to turn the page. God's got something better than this. God has got something better than this. In the 30th chapter, through the relationships of chapter 29, we turn to chapter number 30. There it is, David. Ziklag is burned with fire. The 600 men that went into battle with him, all their families are gone. You don't have to be there. But let me preach to some of you right now. Maybe you feel like you're there. What did the devil come in and take? What did the devil take from you? You feel like the devil's grabbed anything away? You feel like you've lost some of your worship? You feel like you've lost some of your praise? It's missing. I want it back. I want it back. It's burned with fire. It looks hopeless. But something in David, something inside of David, something rises up and says, you're not a Philistine. You're an Israeli. You're one of God's people. You're an Israelite. Amen. Oh, yes. God's got something better than this. He consults the man of God. And God said, it's yours. Go take it. Pursue. You don't have to live without it. You don't have to live below your means. Can I preach to somebody this morning that maybe you did let the enemy come in? Maybe you did let the enemy come in, take your joy, maybe take some of your family, maybe take some of your stuff, and you're sitting in the house of God saying, I just got busy, I didn't mean to, but it happened. Well, friend, that's the beginning of the 30th chapter. What do you say we move a little further? What do you say we go on down the road a little bit and come to that 18th verse and look at David yonder looking down. There's all those Amalekites. They're shouting. They're rejoicing. They got spoils of war. And something rises up inside of David. And David said, that's mine. That's my family. That's mine. That's my spoil. That's mine. And David said, we're taking it. I said, we're taking it. And the Bible said that there was nothing left. He marched down into that camp. I said, he took everything. There was nothing left. He grabbed it all. David got it all back. But not only did he get everything back that they had taken, I believe he got some other stuff. You see, that army, they had been raiding other villages as well. They had been taking other battles. They had some other spoil. And when David marched down there, he said, I'm taking what's mine. But not only what's mine, I'm taking everything you got. I'm taking some for my family. I'm taking some for my brother. Is there anybody in this building? I'm ready to get some stuff back. I'm ready to get my joy back. On this very first Sunday, I'm ready, God. I'm ready, God. I want my fire back. I want my joy back. I want my peace back. And after 16 long months, David gets down before God and he says, I've got to have help. I don't know how long you've been in that dark day, but I'm telling you, come on up out of there. I said, come up on up out of there. God's got something better. I said, God's got something better. How many believe God wants you to have joy? I said, how many believe God wants you to have joy unspeakable and full of glory? How many believe God wants you to have peace that passeth all understanding? How many believe God wants you to have the joy in the Holy Ghost, the river of the Spirit of God? I say, all right then. I say, let's mount up. I say, all right then. Let's get ready. I say, let's march. Let's go take it back in the name of Jesus. You say, well, I don't know. I'm kind of a passive person. I don't like to fail. It's not about me and you. I'll tell you how you do it. Are you ready? Here's the battle instructions. Devil, in the name of Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. I said, devil, in the name of Jesus, I want my joy back. How many believe Jesus is greater? I said, devil, I want my peace back. Devil, I want my worship back in the name of Jesus. Matter of fact, I say we could change the atmosphere right here. On the count of three, I just want you to shout now the name of Jesus. And I want you to see if it doesn't change the atmosphere. Are you ready? One, two, three. One, two, three. One, two, three. Say it as loud as you can. One, two, three. I'm telling you, friend, that changes the atmosphere. I said it changes the atmosphere. There is a name above every name. It is the name of Jesus. It's the name that every knee shall bow. Every tongue will confess. Jesus, Jesus. You think it's that easy, Brother Austin? Absolutely. Absolutely. Now, I'm not telling you. Brother Morey, you're not the devil, but you are right now. The devil's not going to come in and say, I've got your joy, I've got your peace. And I come up and say, give it, can I have it, can I have it, can I have it? He's not just going to say, here, take it. I don't want it anymore. Oh, no. Oh, no. He's a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. But I tell you what, he's already lost the battle on Calvary. I said the blood has been shed and the price has been paid. So devil, in the name of Jesus, that's mine. It's not yours. Joy is mine. Peace is mine. My family is mine. Anybody want to march down into the enemy's camp and say, I'm taking my family back. I'm taking my family back. I'm taking my family back in the name of Jesus. Can I borrow your wallet real quick? Your wallet? Can I borrow your wallet? I'll give it right back. I won't. You got a wallet? Man, look at these guys. Wow. Wow. Young guys. I feel your pain. Not only did David go get what his was his, the Bible said he got everything they had taken out of the land of Judah and the Philistines. So not only did David get his stuff, but he got some stuff that belonged to everybody else. Hallelujah. Not only did God give him back what was his, he got more. I said he got more. Can I preach to you this morning? Not only can you get back what was yours, I said you can have more joy than you've ever had. You can have more peace than you've ever had. I said he can give you a double portion. Anybody believe we're serving a God of a double portion? Lift your hands and say, God, pour it out. I say, God, pour it out. Pour it out. Pour it out. Hallelujah. 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 He is a God of a double portion. And on this first Sunday, I'm starting out in victory. In this first Sunday, I'm starting out with joy. I'm starting out with peace. I'm starting out in power. I'm walking in victory. No music. 16 months. No harp. 16 long months. Never talking to the Lord. What about you? What about you? On a Sunday morning, and I'm not auditioning for your job. On a Sunday morning, I want it back. I want it back. I'm not leaving this building. I'm not leaving this service till I get it back. Anybody in that shape right now? Would you lift your hands toward heaven, ask God to give us an altar call here in the next 30 seconds or so? Hallelujah. 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 Right now, maybe one, might be five, might be 20. I don't know. But right now you say, I feel the Spirit of the Lord telling me I need to move. Right now, while the people of God are praying. Hallelujah. Maybe you're visiting with us. Maybe somebody sings in the choir. It doesn't matter to me. But you say, there's some things I'm missing. There's some things I'm missing. And on this Sunday morning, the devil is a liar. This Sunday morning, the devil is a liar. The blood of Jesus is greater. I'm going to get it back. I'm getting it back. And while the people of God are worshiping, I want you to come stand right here, right now. Come on. Come on right here, right now. Hallelujah. You might be praying, God, give you your family back. You might be wanting joy back. You might want peace. Hallelujah. What about the Holy Ghost? What about divine healing? Maybe God needs to confirm his word once again. Maybe this morning you just say, I don't even know if God's word is true. You need faith back. You need convictions back. You need just the breath of God this morning. Hallelujah. The people of God are moving. Come on, church, and let's worship. Hallelujah. 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 Bless your name.